morning. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that we can gather together and worship our Savior, hear from His Word, and be able to help together. I love hearing the interaction. Thank you for those who have been praying for me and Bethany and the family. We are feeling much better. We're glad to be back with you. It's amazing how much you miss the church when you can't be here with the church. And help me realize those of you joining us online are having to be doing that for a long period of time, how much you are missing by being a part of. We pray one day that you can join us as well, but we're glad that you can at least join us this way. One thing we want to make sure we draw your attention to is community groups. They'll be starting back up next week, and we're excited about those. It's an opportunity to be able to fellowship and really do body life together during that time. And so what I thought this morning what we would do, we'd have the community group leaders go ahead and come on up. They're going to give a 60-second detail about their community group times, what to expect, and that sort of thing. And then we'll go ahead and proceed from there. So I'll turn it over to you guys.
I'll go first. Dave Dean, for those who do not know my name. And I've taken up the task of doing the virtual group. And I wanted to explain just a moment what that would be like. We've done a lot of different virtual things here. We're online this morning, and that's great. My intention with the virtual group is for the folks that don't feel comfortable, or maybe for another reason would like to meet online. And I'm going to do my best. I cover your prayers to create a connection. And for a good portion of that, maybe 50%, 40% of it, to be interaction, just social interaction and catching up with one another and learning from each other. I may be bold at some point, if you all encourage me in that group, to do breakout rooms. We might even break down the rooms at the end, and you can get together with just two or three people. That's over my head right now. But let me say this. We're going to do the basic questions and review the message like we have been. But my heart and my prayer and my desire is to create a connection. In my business, I use Zoom, and I do that, and have some really great groups going on, so I know it can be done. But I know it's just a challenge. When you haven't tried to connect with people that way, I still don't think it's the best way to connect, but I think we have that opportunity and have the technology. If you're a little technology challenged, and you need some help on how to get it to work on your end, please ask if you want to do that. So here's the choice. Do community group. Well, I don't really want to feel comfortable going to somebody's home right now and being closed that way. Then do virtual community group. It's either that or not do it at all. And I think of course, I'm a little biased, but I think you ought to do it. So glad to have any of you doing that.
Good morning. I think everybody knows I'm Ed Rubbles. Cindy and I host an in-home community group. We live about 6 miles from here. We've been blessed with both enough adequate parking space and space in our home to do that. So we've been doing that at 5 p.m. on Sundays. We study God's Word from 5 to 6 p.m. and then have a meal all together at 6 p.m., which typically lasts 1 to 2 hours, that time of fellowship and eating. So 6 to 7, 6 to 7:30, 6 to 8, it doesn't matter to us. We tell everybody as long as we're in bed by 10. We have left it basically up to each individual whether to wear a mask at the last one before the break. Pretty much no one was. We understand everyone has different feelings about that. So, as you learn about community groups, this one happens to be in home. And if you have questions, please let us know.
With Sea Camp, we are hosting a community group across the city, the community center. Dave and I did virtual last year. And through our discussion we met a couple weeks ago, we just felt like we weren't connecting with the virtual people or the people because when we were looking up, looking at the screen,
we're getting people behind us. So what we want to do is split that up, as Dave said. He'll be doing the first group at 1:30. I will be still doing the in-person group at the community center so we can spread out there and have our discussion. We have some diehard people who want to come face-to-face here in the community, and we're doing it at 1:30 so that you can go get a bite to eat and meet us back there. Depending on how many show up, and they bump that up, time up, we'll get to see what that looks like right now. It'll be 1:30. So do the same thing as the rest of the groups. They do pass the questions. Connect with one another, do some prayer requests, and have some prayer time, and just connect to the community group. So, Ross Street, 1:30, starting next Sunday. Thank you.
All right, thank you, man. The fourth group is at our house, and we love to have people come over. We met on Monday in the fall. We're going to switch to Sundays at 1:30. What typically happens is our family, we go and get our food to go. We bring it back to the house. If anyone else wants to do that and eat with us before the group, that's fine. Or pack your meal or whatever you want to do. And then we'll spend some time at 1:30 discussing and really connecting and being able to pray for one another, dig into one another's lives, and enjoy a time of being in the church. I appreciate these men and their wives for helping out with the hosting side of this. And we look forward to community groups. Just to recap, you have... they're all on Sunday starting next week. Mine's at my house at 1:30. We have one at the community center at 1:30, and then the virtual one at 1:30, and then Ed and Cindy's is meeting at 5 o'clock on Sunday. So I encourage you to be a part of that. In addition to just this information, we would be at the table, but due to social distancing, we'll spread out. The guys will be in the back of the sanctuary at the end of the service. If you have more questions for them specific about their group and what's happening at their group, go ahead and talk to them, and they'll be able to answer those questions more specifically. So let's pray, and then we'll turn it over to Scott to see how it stays with some things. Father God, it is such an amazing privilege that we have to gather together as the body of Christ in much chaos and much turmoil that's happening in the world with lots of different events, both on a global, national, and personal level. Lord, it's a privilege that we have to come together, spend an hour and a half a day on Sunday morning to focus in on you and your word and the truth that you have for us. Allow that truth to be our beacon in the midst of chaos. Allow us to display hope that we can rest on a firm foundation when everything seems to be shaking in the world around us. Lord, help us to focus in on you during this time. Allow us to have blinders on, soften our hearts to the Spirit as the Spirit takes the word of truth that will be spoken and does the work in our lives. And we thank you again for the many blessings you have given us, and we praise, give you all the praise and honor and glory for that. In your name I pray. Amen.
It's good to have you all here today to come together as a body and to publicly worship the one who means more to us than anything else. Psalm 48, verse 14 says, "This is God, our God, forever and ever." And then it says, "He will guide us forever." The New International says, "He will lead us to the end." This is God, and He is with us forever, and He will guide us, He will lead us until the end. What kind of God is that? The holy, perfect, sovereign God. And so we're going to sing, first of all, about that, but only the holy God. We've been working on that song and learning that here this last year. Then we're going to go back to a classic hymn. It was the one who leads us. And so he leadeth me. We'll be there. And I'm going to introduce to you a new song that's one of my favorites right now. I want to know you more. And once I know you that much more, I want to know you more than that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get there. Well, would you stand with me? We'll sing together. Who else can make everything bow down? Who else can whisper in darkness tremble? Only the Holy God. What other beauty
Thank you.
Worship team from Australia called City of Light, and I just one song after another just has been blessing us in our life, and oftentimes, especially on Sunday mornings when we're getting ready for a church, we're playing those songs. It's another new one that got light of the message we're addressed in this year that there's nothing better for us, according to Philippians, than knowing Christ. And then when we know Him, where we think we know Him, then we just discover we get to know Him more, right? Just finished another John Christian book, and I've read it, enjoyed it, I'll be done with it, and won't read it again, right? But God's Word is different, isn't it? The beauty and the glory and the message of the Gospel, who God is and what He's done for us, just continues to grow, and you get to know Him, the privilege of knowing Him, more and more, and it brings us comfort, and it brings us encouragement. So we're going to teach this piece today. If you know it, please be along with us. But again, the melody is simple. We've got a nice chorus and a little bridge, and we'll repeat those so that you can get used to those and then do a singing again in the future.
Like all of
Everyone. Good to see everybody here today. Thank you for coming out to worship with us as a family of Jesus Christ. We just thank you for bringing yourself here today. As we come to prayer, let's remember those that are sick in our congregation. Let's remember our sister Faye as she's recovering from surgery. She hopes to get out of the hospital shortly. But let's keep going in our prayers. Others, I know that I'm forgetting. Just remember all of our church family. Let's remember each other in our prayers. We're in a unique time in our country and our world. The Lord's really been messing with me pretty hard recently. What am I doing for Christ? What am I doing in spreading the gospel? You've got people we come into contact with every day. Every day. All of us. Co-workers, students, people we go to the all of us go to a restaurant, all of us go to the grocery store, all of us go to the gas station to get gas. Do we ever mention anything to those that we come in contact with? Do we invite them to church? And we need to be active. What if Christ returns tomorrow? And that's it. What if he returns tomorrow? Many, many, many people that we have had the opportunity and never took it with no Christ. We have an obligation. We have a duty, we have a responsibility to spread the gospel. I'm not going to preach to you. That's Pastor's job. He's prepared, I'm not. But that's something that's on my heart. The Lord's really been working with me that I need to personally be more active in sharing the gospel. And we as a church body, we need to be active. And now more than ever, people are questioning everything. And we've got answers. Not us, but the Bible has answers. And we need to be active and involved in getting those answers. Being willing, being bold in our work, in our witness to Christ. So I just encourage each and every one of us to take those opportunities. They come by us every day, multiple times. Let's not let them slide by us, take advantage of them. So let's prepare our hearts as we come, as the pastor will be coming to bring us the message of each work. And prepare our hearts and our minds to receive that. Right. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Lord God, we are an inferior and wretched people. We fail so much, Lord God, when you are so merciful to us. Heavenly Father, without your mercy and your grace, we would be consumed. Lord God, we just thank you and praise you for Jesus Christ that came and paid a price for us that we couldn't pay. Lord God, we just ask that you would empower the pastor as he comes to bring us the word. We pray that our hearts and our minds would be prepared to receive the word.
that we would allow it to work in our lives, bring us closer to a better walk with Christ. Lord God, may we be empowered this week to worship and to witness to those around us, Lord God. May we be bold in our testimony and share the gospel. Heavenly Father, that's what you've called us to do, share the gospel. Be with us now, Lord God, as we listen to the word, and we just pray to work it in our lives and change it, Heavenly Father. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Our children, ages kindergarten and younger, can be dismissed for a time prepared in the Word for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd like to begin reading in verse 12 and go through the end of the chapter. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there, so I took leave of them and went to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God. We speak in Christ. So we use God's word. What happened in 2020? Well, there's a question that could take us in a lot of directions. We could talk about COVID-19. We could talk about masks. We could talk about quarantines. We could talk about nearly 2 million deaths in the world and 300,000 in America. We could talk about Black Lives Matter. We could talk about rioting in the streets. We could discuss the presidential election. We could discuss a divided nation. But there's a word that probably has not come to your mind, or to any of our minds, probably at least not initially, yet needs to be there for Jesus' followers when you think about 2020. And it is the word triumph. It's the word I'm asking the Lord to encourage our souls with through this State of the Church Address. Every year we begin the new year with the State of the Church Address, a Sunday devoted to thinking about such things, and this is that Sunday. we see, we've just heard this word triumph in the passage that I just read, 2 Corinthians 2:14. It's a verse that we memorized past July, the church family. I love this verse. It was just a little over 30 years ago, on the first Sunday after we dedicated this building in which we sit, on November the 18th, 1990, that I preached the first message in this church, having dedicated it, from this passage in a message entitled A Vision for Ministry That Never Changes. None of us ever dreamed that a 2020 would be coming. On that day, we turned our attention to this passage and reminded ourselves that ministry involves a manifestation. We don't use that word very often. We ought to. It's a good word. Manifest means to make known, to reveal. Ministry involves making something known. Listen again to verse 14, this time from King James. Now, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. This is what church ministry is, a manifestation. God is intent on making something known through us, the followers of his son Jesus. He is doing the ministry, and we are privileged to cooperate with him. In fact, he promises in verse 14 to do two things. What are they? One, he promises to lead us in triumphal procession in Christ. Notice. And two, he promises to make Christ known through us in every place. So his promise is to do something with us and through us. He's committed himself to enabling us to know Christ and to make Christ known to others. This is incredible. This is one of those verses, that's why I picked it for us to memorize this past summer, that ought to shape the way we look at everything in our lives and in the world. God has committed himself to making Christ known through his church. This is what God does, and he's been doing it for 2,000 years. Is it our responsibility to make the church grow? It is not. Jesus himself said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What's our responsibility then? It is to allow God to make Christ known through us, to make Christ known. As we do that, we claim this amazing promise of God that he will cause the ministry of his church to advance. Indeed, strong word, to triumph. And our appropriate response should be then, as was Paul's, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. There's a beautiful cultural imagery going on here. That's the backdrop for 2 Corinthians 2:14. As a Roman citizen, Paul is quite familiar with what was known as a Roman triumph. The highest honor a Roman general could receive was called a triumph. To attain it, he had to meet certain conditions. He must have been the actual commander-in-chief in the field of battle. He must have finished the campaign, defeated the enemy, brought the troops home. He must have killed at least 5,000 opponents in one engagement. He must have conquered enemy territory. And finally, he must have won over a foreign foe and not in a civil war. If a general accomplished all of this, he was entitled to a Roman triumph. This is what happened. A fabulous procession paraded through the streets of Rome in honor of this victorious general. The order of the procession went as follows. First, the state officials in the Senate. Second, the trumpeters. Third, the spoils taken from conquered land. For instance, when Titus conquered Jerusalem, AD 70, he took home to Rome the 7-branched candlestick, the golden table of the showbread, and the golden trumpet. Fourth, pictures of the conquered land. Fifth, the white bull which would be sacrificed to the gods. Sixth, the enemy princes, leaders, and generals who would then be flung into prison and executed. Seventh, the musicians. Eighth, the priests swinging their censers, burning with sweet-smelling incense. And then comes nine, the general himself in a chariot drawn by four horses, wearing a purple tunic embroidered with golden palm leaves. And then his family, tenth, And then behind the generalist family, 11th, came the army, wearing all of their decorations, shouting the cry of triumph. The triumph was an amazing sight. It happened usually only once in a lifetime. And apparently, it's a picture Paul has in mind when he thinks about us, the church, and what God is doing in this world. Right now, Paul reminds us, Jesus Christ is marching in triumph through the world, and nothing can stop him. Through his cross work and resurrection, he has defeated the enemies of sin, death, and the devil. He has purchased a people for his eternal glory. And now this glorious King who is seated on his throne in heaven is also, through his body, the church, marching in triumphal procession and claiming his prize. This is what ministry is. Ministry is a manifestation. Ministry is making known the victorious accomplishment of Jesus the Christ to people still in bondage to the enemy, people that were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. They are His, and He is bringing them to Himself, and He's doing it through local churches like ours. The triumph of ministry is certain. May I say that? The triumph of ministry is certain. Not because of us, but because of the promise of God. Let's think about application for a moment. Every ministry of Wheelsburg Baptist Church comes back to this. We exist to make Christ known. Kids Club exists to make Christ known. Our community center across the street exists to make Christ known. So does Sunday School and Biblical Counseling and Cradle and Scioto Hills Camp. And every ministry, including the preaching that takes place in this pulpit, exists to make Jesus Christ known to this world. Every ministry, to repeat, exists at Wheelsburg Baptist Church to make Christ known. If it's not accomplishing that, it needs to be shelved. But, think about this, so does every non-ministry. And by that I mean what didn't happen in 2020. In 2020, many of our ministries did not take place. They couldn't due to a worldwide pandemic. Certain routines on our schedule did not happen. We did not meet in person for 9 Sundays from March the 22nd through May the 17th. On May the 24th, we opened again for Sunday morning services and began a new normal that continues to this day. Some attending in person and some joining us via live stream Facebook Live. No VBS in 2020, Kids Club cut way back, Community Center Youth cut back, Sunday School cut back, no youth camp at Scioto Hills for the first time in its history. But non-ministry does not mean that the manifestation of Christ at Wheelsburg Baptist Church ceased in 2020. Far from it. How could it? We have the promise of the victorious Savior that it will never cease. Thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Indeed, the triumphal march continued in 2020, and Lord, the Lord used things that did not happen to make Himself known in eternally significant ways, as I'll share momentarily. Dear friends, this is our purpose, to know Christ and make Him known to others. We are in a triumphal procession, cooperating with the Sovereign One who is spreading the knowledge of His Son everywhere on planet Earth. And He will not stop until the march ends. And the prize is His forever, enjoying Him forever, ultimately in a new heaven and new earth. This leads me to ask a couple of important questions at this point. Question number one, do you know His Son? To put it another way, are you a participant in the triumph that is happening right now? Second question, is it the consuming passion of your life to know the One who saved you even better? And with all that you have, to make Him known to others who still don't know Him, for whom He's given His life. this is what God promised. This is what God is doing. He is currently at work in our midst, making His Son known, leading us in triumphal procession. And since that's true, then we can look back and see evidence of it. If this is true, then we can look back and see evidence of it. And indeed we can. This is what our annual State of the Church address is all about. Every year we stop and look back at the evidence of what God has done to fulfill the promise that He made. And then to anticipate where this triumph might take us in the coming year. Now, having said that, I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. When I say that the triumph is certain, it doesn't mean that there are not challenges along the way and setbacks at times, for there most certainly are. Paul himself acknowledged that reality in the preceding verses. And so I want to take us into this message of 2 Corinthians a little bit more to appreciate this point. Triumph is certain, but the triumph involves setbacks, challenges, and you see it right here. Go back to 2 Corinthians as Paul begins the letter. He introduces himself to this church that knows him well in verses 1 and 2. And then he says this, verse 3, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our, I've underlined this next word, the ESV says, affliction. Who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any, there it is again, affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Notice that word affliction. The triumphal process in procession involves affliction, and at times it is quite severe. For Paul and his associates, it was so severe that they thought they were going to die. Drop down to verse 8. Where he reads, he writes, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received a sentence of death." Triumph, yes, it's certain, and sometimes the opposition is so intense that you don't think you're going to make it. Paul said, "I thought we were going to die." What's God up to, this triumphal marching through earth God? Paul says in the very next verse, the next phrase of that verse, "But this, that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." God did that a lot in 2020. We can't rely on ourselves. We begin to rely on the one who raises the dead. Paul's words here, his confession, indicates that the triumph is not a dress parade, but active troops engaged in ongoing warfare. Let me say that again. This is not a dress parade. This is not we dressed up and we're going through this triumph and everything's all. This is active troops moving through this world, and sometimes troops go down. Paul says that recent hardships were so severe that in his partners felt like they were going to die, but the Lord used even that despair to give them more of what they want most of all, which is Himself and the experience of the one who rises from the dead and raises his own people from the dead at times as they discover his sufficiency. Now, that particular challenge is one of three that he mentions. That one happened on the outside from a non-Christian hostile world. The next challenge happens right inside the church. It has to do with a misunderstanding. As I read verses 13 and 14, take note of the repeated use of the word understand. All right? Verse 13, we're still in chapter 1. "For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand. And I hope you will fully understand, just as you did partially understand us. But on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will both of us, as we will both of you." I heard MacArthur talk about the book of 2 Corinthians and preaching through, and he said it. "I'm so thankful I didn't preach through 2 Corinthians early in my ministry." You've got to be in ministry a long time to appreciate 2 Corinthians. Ministry full of, inside the church, misunderstandings. Well, I thought, you said, well, why didn't you do? Paul says, all right. let's talk about the misunderstanding too. Triumph in Christ, sometimes it feels like the whole thing is going to derail because of misunderstandings right in the church. This is one of the main reasons Paul wrote this letter. We call 2 Corinthians because some in the church at once, frankly, misunderstood him. For the sake of time, I won't go into great detail about this, but the misunderstanding had to do with something that Paul said he was going to do, but then didn't do. He said he was going to come to Corinth again, but he didn't come, not immediately. And some concluded, you can't trust that guy. He says one thing and then he doesn't do it. Paul knew that he had to clear up this misunderstanding, which he does throughout this letter, setting the record straight. For instance, chapter 1, verse 15, I wanted to come to you, he says. Verse 16, I wanted to visit you. Why didn't he then? Verse 23 drops down and notice he says it was to spare you that I refrained from coming. Spare them of what? He explains in chapter 2, verse 1. I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you. Oh. So sometimes you say that you're going to do things and you just can't do them because other things happen. And you're not truthful when that happens. Apparently, just reading between the lines, one of the church members in Corinth had caused Paul great pain. So he made a quick visit to Corinth to deal with that problem. He calls it a painful visit. And apparently he promised he was going to come back. And then he didn't come back, and he chose to write a letter, which he refers to as a painful letter. It's not in the Bible. It's another letter that he wrote to the church at Corinth. Trying to address the situation involving this person. He mentions it in chapter 2, verse 4. He says, I wrote out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears. Not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love I have for you. Some jumped all over that and said, you didn't come back like you said. But apparently the disciplinary intent of the visit and then the letter achieved the goal, and the man repented. Unfortunately, some in the church were still struggling to forgive the repentant man. Knowing this, Paul gives this counsel in Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough, so then you should rather forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. The guy's learned his lesson. He's repented. It's time to bring him back into the church. All right. So much we could say about that. But I'm making the point that the triumph isn't without setbacks. So you got things on the outside from a hostile world. You got stuff right inside the church. Here's the third one. Right inside of Paul. Chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went to Macedonia. Also, there was a wide open door for ministry opportunity to make Jesus Christ known and people that wanted to hear about it. And he said, I didn't go. Why not? Because I didn't have peace about it. I was torn on the inside. Titus wasn't there. This is just so real. Life is full of decisions. Church life. Should I go or should I not? Should I take on this ministry assignment or should I not? And if I do, what will people think? And if I don't, what will they say about me? Will they misunderstand? Will they conclude wrong things? It's at that very point that he puts the ink onto the page with our verse this morning. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Yes, there was opposition along the way from the world. And yes, there were misunderstandings in the church. And yes, there were tough decisions to make that caused inner turmoil. Do we wear masks or not wear masks in the Church of Jesus Christ in 2020? But of this, we were, can be, and can always be sure, in Christ, our God is leading us in triumphal procession, spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of His Son everywhere, and He's doing it here through us, and will continue to. Now, is there evidence of that? And indeed there is, and I want to talk to you about that. Let's look back and give Him thanks for it, as the text exhorts us to do. Evidences of the triumphal procession that leads to the Baptist in 2020. This past year, we saw the Lord work in many ways. For instance, He allowed our sister Thelma Altus to turn 100 years of age on June the 16th. And then He also took our brother Lou Imes to his heavenly home on November 3rd at the age of 97. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. On a personal note, in 2020, Sherry and I learned that our daughter Katie is pregnant with our third grandchild. And on a personal note, our Heavenly Father called my earthly father into His presence. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our current membership is 134. Our weekly Sunday morning attendance for 2020 was 94. In 2019, the number was 101. 2018, the number was 102. But of course, that number is very misleading. With COVID-19, because we did not meet in person for 9 weeks, from March the 22nd through May 17th, and yet we did meet. We met in our homes, we met around our phones, we met around tablets and televisions. Church did not stop, because church is not a building, nor is it restricted to what happens in a building on Sunday morning at 10:30. On May 24th, we resumed worship services here at the church house, but we also continued to offer opportunities for folks to worship and participate online, and many did, and are still using that option. For instance, in our summer series on learning from the Psalms how to put God in the center of life, we were having people participate in Florida, Michigan, and Kansas, and Brazil, and Italy, just to mention a few of the places that were popping up, and certainly throughout the community. Now, I want to say, certainly, we're not back approaching anything close to pre-COVID days. At this point in the pandemic, I would estimate that about two-thirds of our membership have returned for corporate worship at varying levels of frequency. But about one-third of our people are still staying at home on Sundays, many due to safety concerns, with many of those participating online. This is the state of the church as we enter 2021. In 2020, we learn how to show love for one another in some new ways, such as by not shaking hands, by not sitting too close in the auditorium, by physical distancing when fellowshipping in the forward hallways, by taking communion out of a box. I have become all things to all people, says the Apostle Paul. I think that's a good summary verse for 2020. I'm so grateful for you, church family. Many evidences of God's grace exhibited through you as you worked hard to prefer one another, refusing to allow personal inconveniences become a barrier to our blood-bought unity. Most of us don't like change. We all tend to grow comfortable with things as we know them, but it's amazing. When you reflect on how the Lord chose to work through necessary changes this past year to bring about glory to His name. For instance, because of the coronavirus, we stopped passing the offering plate in 2020. And what happened? The answer is 255,396. This was the general fund income in 2020, and it exceeded our expenses by $35,000. The Lord didn't just provide for us this past year. He did it super abundantly through the generosity of His people. That number, 255,000, represents the highest general fund income in the history of the Elizabeth Baptist Church. And it happened during a pandemic, as did this. We were able to pay all of our bills on time, including fulfilling all of our missionary commitments each month. This is not insignificant. When coronavirus hit, we had discussions at the leadership level about potential cutbacks to make sure we could meet our financial obligations. And yet week after week, the Lord provided us with even more than we needed. This enabled us to make several facility improvements. Thanks to the trustees for their work on these, we purchased a new office wing door. We installed a drop box at the front of the church, and people painted youth rooms and nursery and remodeled the Sunday school room. We were able to acquire a new church exterior sign for $15,000, in part due to a generous gift from the family of Ruth Ann Lewis in her honor. A sign which, by the way, is helping us get the word out about what's going on in this ministry God raised up here at Elizabeth Baptist, and we'll be dedicating that sign on the Sunday morning service of February the 7th, the Lord willing. We'll go outside afterwards and have a special time of prayer for that. At the end of the year, we voted to purchase a new sound system for $20,000. It's already proving to be a wonderful tool for helping us fulfill our mission of making Christ known. On top of that, the Lord enabled us to give away gifts, special gifts to help other ministries. One was a $10,000 gift to a minister we dearly love, Coyote Hills Camp. Another was this year's harvest offering, $7,270, which went to Camp Hope Project in South Brazil to help the camp as well as the church plant that's happening there in conjunction with our missionaries there in Warro and Randy and Cindy Richner. There were other gifts to missionaries. There was a special gift to help a sister church in our community obtain their own building, and it all happened in the year that we stopped passing the offering plate. Talk about another change for a moment. During COVID, we couldn't meet for corporate prayer on Wednesday evening. This is a problem because we love to pray as the people of God at Elizabeth Baptist. We need to pray as a church. We move ahead as we pray as a church, but it wasn't wise to be together. So how do you do that? The Lord opened up another way for us to pray together. While we were not able to be together on Wednesday evenings, He allowed us to begin to explore something that was only sketchy. We had some experience with Zoom, but we started using Zoom and having virtual prayer meetings, and it wasn't just get by, and many of you were a part of those. We had a good part of the church participated in those. We went to another level in terms of interacting with our missionaries and ministry leaders from the ministries we support every week. And so we spent time with Jade Burley to hear the latest about what God's doing in the Dominican Republic. We heard firsthand from Todd Kincaid about what was happening in Rome with the coronavirus and the ministry there to refugees. And we enjoyed interacting with the Stairs and Horwitzes and Durnlands and Fields and Elmers and just about all of our missionaries we support. We spent time with key ministry leaders we support. We had key leaders that we could never have brought here just because of all the travel logistics. Paul Davis, president of ABWE. Dale Johnson, executive director at ACBC. Aaron Laurie Cook from Cedarville University. Mike Hess, the national representative of the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. Chuck Posley, the state representative. Just to mention some that joined us via this vehicle. Eventually, then, we expanded and started hearing from those serving as ministries that we don't presently support, who wanted to know more about, like Brian Hansen with Capital Ministries, and Tom Carr with Triumph talking about what God's doing in Nepal right now, and John White, the son of Barry and Catherine White, missionary to a restricted country in Asia, just again to mention some. And so on Wednesday after Wednesday, right in the middle of the heat of things, with the coronavirus, we were thrilled to hear firsthand reports concerning the Lord's work to make Himself known to the nations. And then we participated in that work by praying for these ministries. And then we almost every time concluded by asking that person, that missionary or ministry leader, to pray for us. Another change that happened in the summer was no youth camp at Coyote Hills. We love youth camp. So many lives have been transformed over the years at youth camp. No youth camp, not last year. Instead, the Lord allows Coyote Hills to expand from 2 family camps, as in past years, to 6 family camps that minister to 77 different families. We're going to have to wait until eternity to know the full effect of having 77 families studying the Book of Philippians together. But I'll just say, as a representative of one of those families, I'm thankful for it. so much so that we're signing up to go back again this year. Another evidence of the sovereign Lord's wisdom and providential timing has to do with, at the end of 2019, we as a church ordained and then voted to call Matt Wilson to be our associate pastor. And under Pastor Matt's leadership, going into this year, pastor now, 2020, one of the new ministry initiatives was to develop a greeting team ministry. The timing was absolutely perfect, not surprisingly. Throughout this past year, I wonder if you would even be able to guess this. This has not happened in any year I've been here. The number of families that started attending, and I don't mean showed up once and we didn't see them again. I'm going to give you the number of families that attended more than once in 2020. The number is 11 families, most of those with children, began to come here during this year with all that was going on. This doesn't mean that all of those individuals are still coming, although the majority of them are. In September, we began our latest new members class. A week from today, we will be having a baptismal service and voting to receive 13 new members into our church family. All of this is what God did during the pandemic. My point is this. While ministries changed in 2020, the manifestation did not stop. It can't stop. He's sovereign. He is moving through this world, rescuing those that He gave to His Son, and His Son gave His life to redeem on the cross. Let's talk about one recurring way in which the Lord has been making Himself known through us since He brought Luther Baptist Church into existence in 1878, and that is through the preaching of His Word. In last year's State of the Church address, we began the year with a charge from to have a 2020 ministry, and I took that from Acts 20:20, where Paul testifies, you know, that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. And this is what I challenged us to do in 2020, to give unwavering attention to the ministry of the Word of God, but to do so on two fronts. Paul says he emphasized the public ministry of the Word as well as the, what he called the house-to-house ministry. In our context, it's pulpit ministry and one-on-one ministry of the Word is essentially what biblical counseling is. When we preach, we take the Word to people. When we counsel, we take people to the Word. And I said, let's do that. Let's ramp it up. That's in our DNA. Let's make it even more so in 2020. And my, has God done that? And He's done it through you. By His grace and for His glory, He allowed us to have a 2020 focus in 2020 in terms of preaching. We actually began the year in a little series I called Making Christ Known, learning how to make Christ known in some ways you don't think about very often, such as through forgiving one another and through suffering and through loving one another. And then we moved into the series that we were in when COVID hit, learning from the Psalms, how to put God at the center of life. In July, we moved into the New Testament and resumed our journey through the book of Acts, focusing on the mission of the church. Why are we here? Working through Acts chapter 13 through 19. And marveled at what happens when God's people take the mission seriously. We finished the year with a Christmas series in Matthew 1, reminding ourselves that there's hope today because God sent His Son into the world, Jesus, to save His people from their sins. Public ministry isn't just what happens behind this pulpit and from this mouth. It happens, for instance, on second Sunday evening. Most months, we call it our church family service, and we gather together around the Word to hear the Word, to share communion together. Having heard the Word, our preachers in training took us through the first portion of the book of Galatians this year. Other opportunities for public ministry of the Word included Sunday school classes in the winter and then resumed again in the fall, youth group meetings, abbreviated kids club ministry. For our adult Wednesday evening Bible study, we sought to grow in our knowledge of Christ, beginning the year with a series on the metaphors and names of Christ. We ended the year with a series that we called Union with Christ, those beloved prepositions in the book of Ephesians. In Christ, with Christ, for Christ, because of Christ. a series that continues in 2021. The public ministry of the Word opened up opportunities, it always does, for more intimate ministries of the Word. That happened in 2020. So on Sunday afternoons and evenings, some cases it was on Monday evenings, but our community groups met to discuss the implications of the morning messages. It's encouraging for me to hear how the Lord is using the discussion of the Word together in a small group setting to increase our knowledge of Him, our love for Him, as well as to take our knowledge of and love for each other to another level. The reality is, when it comes to the private ministry of the Word at WBC, it is so hard to quantify. It has become literally a part of our, to say it again, our DNA. On a regular basis, our people are interacting with each other, using the Word of God to encourage, exhort, deal with problems, restore, equip for ministry. And we continue to offer free biblical counseling for those needing help. That happens in the church. It happens providing free counseling for folks in this community. And only God knows how many dozens and dozens of people found hope and help from the Scriptures in 2020. And there were other ways the personal ministry of the Word showed up. We were once again privileged as a church to invest in our pastoral interns, Douglas Gonzalez and Austin Haney. And Pastor Matt took a point on this ministry designed to equip the next generation of God's servants with the Word. There was a counseling and discipleship training course this past winter. There were ladies' Bible studies in homes. There was even a men's study using group texting as one of the means of discussion. Who would have dreamed of such a thing 10 years ago? In last year's State of the Church address, I shared initiative to see 10 people from Wheelersburg Baptist become ACBC certified biblical counselors in the next 3 years, as well as to have 10 others from area churches in this region of the country become ACBC certified counselors. When things shut down in the spring, Dave Bean, who leads this ministry, led several Zoom meetings to help a group of, I don't know what there were, about 10 or so folks from area churches work towards this reality. And then I want to say, again, I mentioned this I think last week, but I want to thank you, the Lord first, and you for another opportunity to advance our 2020 focus. On a personal note, in 2020, Shepherd Press released a little mini book that I wrote, Help, I Live with Chronic Pain, because in reality, this is our story, and I dedicated the book to you, as I share in the foreword, to the Wheelersburg Baptist Church family, thankful for over 30 years of learning together about God's sufficiency when the pain won't go away. That's looking in the rearview mirror. And that leads me to make a prediction. I want us to talk about what's going to happen in 2021. You will not hear about this on CNN or Fox News or any news outlet. Are you ready? Here's what it is. The prediction is this. God will continue to lead us in Christ Jesus in triumphal procession in 2021. The triumph will continue in and through Wheelersburg Baptist Church in 2021. Please, again, don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not saying that 2021 will be an easy year. I am convinced there will be increasing opposition from the outside hostile world. I am convinced there will be misunderstandings right inside of this church. I am convinced that there will be the turmoil in our own souls as there was for Paul trying to figure out, should I do this or not? But I am also convinced, as was Paul, that God will continue His triumphal procession in 2021 and through us will spread the fragrance of the knowledge of His Son everywhere. And with that in mind, I want to offer a couple of New Year's challenges. First, I want to challenge you to make it top priority this year to get to know Jesus Christ better. That obviously starts with a challenge to you who don't know Christ yet. Get to know Jesus right now. Repent of your sin and ask Him to save you. And He will become your Savior. He'll give you what you couldn't achieve on your own efforts. Eternal life. That's why He went to the cross and triumphed over the tomb. But to you who know Christ, Are you in a Bible reading plan? Please do so. The Bible is the key to getting to know Christ. Read the book. Memorize the book. Pray the book. Put yourselves in opportunities to get to know the book. Take advantage of community groups and Sunday school and the counseling and discipleship training that continues tomorrow night. It's not too late to join us for that. And of course, the gathering of the people of God around and under the Word of God on Sundays and Wednesdays. And then read a good book to help you know Christ better this year. Like, specifically, what do you accomplish for you on the cross? I challenged last week to read the book In My Place, Condemned He Stood by Gary Packer and Mark Dever. Priority challenge number one, get to know Christ better in 2021. Second challenge, let's make it a priority to help others know Christ better in 2021. Last year, I gave the 2020 challenge, Acts 2020. So I thought, well, what's Acts 2021 say for 2021? And this is what it says. Testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think we can beat on that. So there you go. This is 2021. We've got to get that word out. That through repentance and belief in Christ, you have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And Greg was right as he shared this with you in the pastoral and the deacon's prayer. We've got to keep taking advantage and look for new ways to get the message out to the lost. We can't keep what we have for ourselves. This is what the triumph is all about. Spreading the knowledge of Christ. Where? Everywhere, says the text. I was scheduled to travel to Nepal in November to participate in Zion's training church leaders. That trip didn't happen due to travel restrictions. Maybe this year. I'm thinking, I hope you're thinking, how can we get the message out in new ways? What does God want to do through me to reach my neighbors this year? Surely this year we'll all have opportunities to make Christ known to neighbors, classmates, others we meet. To help us make Christ known for this year's scripture memory work, we're going to have a passage a month as we've been doing. But this year, we're going to memorize a passage that will enable us to preach the gospel to ourselves and to those who don't know Christ. So we'll be working through the themes of God and our need and sin and who man is and what Christ has done, what the proper response is, month by month. And more coming, more specific coming on that. This month's verse is Galatians 6:14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And by the way, in case you forget those two challenges, help is available. Just look at our new church sign out front. Every time you come up, drive up and pull in, and it tells you right there. We as a Baptist church committed to knowing Christ and making Christ known. Many times in 2020, I heard people say, I sure wish things would get back to normal. And I understand and can certainly relate to this sentiment. We all look forward to the time when the pandemic ends and we can gather again without concern for spreading a deadly virus. But dear friends, it is my privilege to remind you and to share this good news with you. We do not have to wait until the pandemic stops to see our Savior's mission advance. God's triumphal procession has not stopped and will not stop. We have just considered some of the evidence for that assertion, and for all of that, I say, and I invite you to join me in saying, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. We're going to sing in a moment these words, but I want you to listen to them as they sum up this State of the Church address. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask besides? Can I doubt His tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide, heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell, for I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter and my soul athirst may be gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Father in heaven, we just are amazed when we take time to stop and think. When we let your word help us interpret what's going on around us and not what the world is saying. It gives us such joy. It gives us such hope, such purpose, such encouragement. And I pray that what we have seen this morning, specifically thinking about the church, will encourage us as we think about our families and our own lives, because this is a reality there as well. Thanks be to God who in Christ is leading our families and our own lives. And through the difficulties we've been through this year, you have accomplished incredible things for your glory and the manifestation of the gospel to those around us and for this we so thank you. I thank you for this dear church. Thank you for those who are the servants, the elected servant leaders in this church, and their wives and the ways they've served well this year. I thank you for our children. I thank you for those that are elderly and in some cases can't even get out any longer, but fulfill such a vital role as they pray. I thank you for the families, those 11 families that you brought this year. I thank you for the $255,000, each dollar representing a testimony to your patrons. I thank you for those that will be baptized next week and others that will be brought into this church family. You are a faithful God, and we say together, thanks be to God. In Jesus' name. If you stand with me, let's sing together this song that I just quoted. It's a wonderful way to begin the pew. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask besides? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divine is comfort, when my faith in Him to dwell. For I know, whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know, whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. The second. All the way my Savior leads me, is He winding path I tread? Gives me grace for every trial, leads me with the living bread. Though my weary step may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from a rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from a rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. And the last. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above.
as immortal wings did fly to realms of day. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
I talked to our sister Faye Jackson just before the service, and she said she's not having any pain now. She's still in Grand Hospital and recovering. She fell and had neck surgery. She's recovering from that. Hopes to come home today or tomorrow to appreciate the Lord's care for her. You're not going to want to miss tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll be in this room, but our brother, Paul Horace, is going to be sharing with us via Zoom about what God's doing in their ministry. Incredible things happening worldwide as they're training God's servants in the Middle East and Far East and other places. That'll be happening tonight at 6 o'clock. It's such a blessing to be together. We have some folks here from Grace Gospel in Huntington. In fact, Justin, would you be willing to put you on the spot? Would you come up here and close us in prayer? Come on right up here. You can. We appreciate them being with us, and would you close us in prayer?
So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for this day, for that you created and part of the opportunity to come here and to worship you. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for Pastor Brad and just the ministry of Williamsburg Baptist Church, Lord, and their testimony, Lord, and their witness to you, Lord, and making you known. Now, Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless them, to bless this ministry, Lord, to bless the pastors, Lord, and to bless your people and all three, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.